podcast about storytelling, fatherhood, music, poetry, food, literature, the creative process, theology, and the perils of trying to live the good life. I am Jason Farley, author, teacher, pastor, and publisher at Jovial Press. Great thing happened to me recently. I was driving into downtown Spokane, coming over the Washington Street Bridge, and was pulling up on a minivan. I drive a minivan, an older minivan that is above a decade old, and it has plenty of bumps and dings and scratches and missing paint. Pulling up next to another minivan, all dented, had some car seats in the back and a couple of kids back there. And as I pulled up next to this minivan, I looked over and there was another dad with a big beard looking over at me. He gave me a little chin nod. I chin nodded back at him. We were like a couple of truckers at Wolfie's nodding over the tall stack. "Hey man, I see you got a car full of kids there and a big beard." We were couple of guys that probably maybe were once cooler than we are now. On a scale of zero to cool, you would definitely need a decibel point to get my measurement in there. And maybe we were both once cooler than we are now, but we looked at each other and we knew we were connected because we currently have the coolest gig in the world. Because really, being a father is amazing. We work, we hustle, we jump from one thing to the next, not just to try and make a living, but in order to provide a better life for our kids. I looked at, there's a schedule of some famous actor, I think it was Marky Mark Wahlberg, and it was just packed full beginning to end of the day, and all sorts of people were commenting on it, saying things like, "Oh my goodness, how is he so busy?" And I thought, it's just because he's got a family. You're busy. If you're a dad, you're busy. You got a family. You got a lot to take care of. And it's because you really want to provide a better life for your kids. Not just minimal make a living, but give them something that really gives them a better life. And we know that someday we are each going to be extras. We're going to be supporting characters in the life story of our kids. And we want to work to raise them so that they can live and love and enjoy their life. We don't want them to just be eternal accessories in our life, but that they can grow up and leave and start their own families and be dads, right? When you love being a dad, you want your kids to grow up and be moms and dads. Being a parent is amazing. Dana Carvey was on a recent Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld, and he said, "You know, you're famous to a billion people, but only three people call you dad." And he's talking about how much he loves being a dad. And I thought, man, I feel that. I love being a dad. And one of the reasons that it's great to be a dad is that you're really imitating God. In Ephesians 3, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Right? The reason that we are called fathers as fathers, the reason that the families have the identity that they do is because the eternal inter-Trinitarian relationship is organized in this sort of way. We're organized into families because of the way the Trinity has always existed and related. We're made in the image of a God who is a family, and so we are families. And that's why it's so satisfying, so delightful to be a parent. Why we laugh or are disturbed even a little bit when somebody says, "Oh, you know, well, it's just mating. You just want to mate and get your DNA out there into the world." And you think, "No, that's ridiculous. That's not, there's no way that's even close to reality." Because it's such a wonderful thing to be a parent. It's satisfying. It's delightful. It's hard, but like anything really worth doing, the good things make up for how difficult it is. So even though it's difficult, even though it's exhausting, it's absolutely worth doing. And when you're getting home from work, for me, it's easy to think, "Man, I am tired. I just want to get in there. I want to rest." But really, you're coming home into the reason that you've been out working so hard. So if you go out and you work so hard and then you come home and you have to, and you can't play with your kids, you can't enjoy them, you can't look them in the eye and talk to them when you get there and listen to them, then what's the point of the working? The working is not so that we can have nice toys. It's so that our kids can be blessed. Our kids can grow up and go out and live their life. And so I've been trying to rethink some of these things in my own life, right? We work hard to be able to bless our kids. But often, what our kids really want is us. I have a hard time remembering this. Sometimes we work so hard to get them things that we forget to give them ourselves. But really, that's what our kids want in the long run. They want us. They want to have relationships with us. And in the long run, what we want from them is loyalty. We want loyalty to us. We want loyalty to God. We want loyalty to their family. We want to build up loyalty. And that's something that God says is important. Malachi 4:6, talking about when the Messiah comes, one of the things he's going to do is turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Where he's going to fill our hearts with the love and loyalty towards one another. Our hearts will be leaned towards each other. And so we want to live in such a way that we are leaning into that loyalty. What does it look like to be loyal to our children, for the hearts of fathers to be towards their children? And so I've been thinking about this and thinking that it's really easy for dads to think that their main job is just to discipline their kids. If I'm disciplining them, then my heart is toward them. But really, there's a way to discipline that just says, I need you to act like a proper accessory to my life. I need you to adjust yourself to me, and so I'm going to discipline you so that you will adjust yourself to me and never really give yourself to them. But some of the ways that we give ourselves to our kids is, one, we look to grow their souls, right? We want to share stories with them, great stories, reading to them, telling them great stories, share great music with them. I remember my dad loved Led Zeppelin. We used to listen to Led Zeppelin and Simon and Garfunkel, and I still have a deep love for those things because of what they represent. Those are things my dad loved that he shared with me that I enjoyed because he was teaching me how to enjoy Three Dog Night, teaching me how to enjoy this great music. And we should show them what to love by loving it, where we don't want to be objective. We want to really love the things that we love and show our kids how and why to love those things, especially their mom. We should really love their mom in front of them and go after that. And just enjoy their company. Be honest with them. You know, as they grow up and they're struggling with something, to say, you know what, I know how you feel. I have struggled with the same thing. Or when they fall into sin, to say, you know what, I really know how you feel. I am a sinner too. And these are the ways God has been working in my life. Because we want our hearts to be leaned towards them. We want to be loyal to them. And that means loving them, pouring into them as parents, as fathers especially, into our children, so that they are filled up and are able to have their hearts lean back towards us. But we love them when they can't really love us back. When they're little tiny babies, they can't really love us back. But we love them first, filling them up, so that they can have that heart full of love in order to love the things that God tells them to. Some of the things that destroy this are guilt trips, right? If we're constantly using guilt trips to get our kids to do what we want, that guilt, it runs short. It's a terrible motivator. Not only does it breed resentment, in order to keep the level of motivation that you begin with, if you're using guilt, you have to keep ratcheting up what is causing the guilt. You know, so it starts out with, hey, don't you feel bad about the way you made me feel? And they say, oh yeah, okay, and they do it. And then the next time that doesn't work because they're calloused to that amount of guilt. And so you say, don't you feel bad about the way you made the entire family feel? And then they get callous to that amount of guilt. So you have to ratchet it up. And pretty soon you're adding incredibly large amounts of guilt pressure to get people to be motivated to do what they want, because the guilt motivation runs out. as soon as the guilt is not present, it runs out. If, on the other hand, we're teaching them what to love and we're filling them up, love is not a motivation that runs out. Love is a motivation that's self-renewing. As we love people, we find them more lovable. As we love people, we find ourselves able to love better. Our capacity for love grows by loving. And so we want to love towards our kids and then teach them how to love towards one another and grow that ability to love so that they're not just constantly feeling guilty and that they're having to let the guilt build up until they're motivated enough to do something, but instead that they have the firm and unshakable love as their motivation behind what they do. Love for God, love for one another, love for their family, love for their neighbor. And that way, that you really do have the wisdom of love dwelling within them. That way, they really have an internal motivation that is built up as a love and a loyalty to God and to the people around them. And another way that we quickly sap that is just by being a hypocrite. We need to learn to be really quick to repent. And it's hard. I know that feeling of you want to justify your sin. You know, you snapped at your kids, you did something, you said something, and you want to hold on to it, you want to justify it, you want to convince yourself and other people that what you did was right, but you know that it wasn't. And that hypocrisy will sap the loyalty of your children. But if we can humble ourselves, our own reputation in our kids' eyes goes up. By confessing our sins, we actually build loyalty within our children. We build loyalty to God because we teach them, look, He's forgiving me. God has forgiven me, and so I know how gracious He is. And you just admit to your kids that you need God's grace and lead them towards God's grace by moving towards it yourself. And a lot of times we think when our kids sin and they need to ask us for forgiveness, that if we want them to really respect us and really be loyal, that we need to press into that guilt. We need to make sure they really, really feel it. But actually, it works the other way around. Psalm 130, verses 3 through 4 says, "If you, Lord, would mark iniquities, O Lord, who would stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." But there's forgiveness with God because He wants to be respected. The way that God gains our respect is by being quick to forgive, by forgiving our sins, by sending Jesus on the cross to die so that our sins can be forgiven. That's how He gains our respect. That's how He gains our loyalty. And God calls us to be the same sort of loyalty gatherer by being quick to forgive, by moving on, by when we tell our kids that we forgive them, that we don't bring it up again because it's been wiped clean. We've forgotten it because it was sin that we forgave. The way that God forgets our sin, He doesn't treat us according to it anymore once it's forgiven. And we might be helping them think of wise ways to avoid temptation. It's not as if we have to pretend they never sinned, but we don't treat them according to it anymore. It no longer is a defining factor in who they are to us because we forgave it. That's how we gain that respect. That's how we gain the loyalty of our kids. And as I have been thinking through just what it is to be a part of that minivan dad brigade, the ones that say, yeah, I'm driving a minivan and I love it. Yeah, I've got a pile full of kids and I love it. Being a dad is the best. And connecting with other dads in that same situation, just saying, you know what? I know that it's not that I don't have to worry about being cool anymore because I've got just the coolest gig there is. I'm a dad. And really embracing that is something that is a little revolutionary in our day. You don't see it a whole lot on TV. But at the same time, we also know that it really does actually resonate with who we were created to be. It's a wonderful thing. And there's a lot of things about who we were created to be. But being a dad, getting to drive a minivan, getting to drive a pile of kids to soccer practice, to volleyball, driving them all over the place, studying Latin with them, studying, you know, helping them with homework, helping them with things in the evenings. It really is the best calling, one of the most fulfilling callings that you run into. And so my new goal that I'm setting for myself is just embrace that minivan dad brigade. Come home, look my kids in the eye, put the cell phone away, and enjoy the fact that I get to be dad to these particular kids. So thanks so much for joining me again on the Westminster Confession of Funk. If you're looking for more of the funk, you can check out my blog, also hosted by Cross Politic. You can find my books at Amazon.com on my author page, and you can visit Jovial Press for more. Thanks for joining me, and keep it funky, people.